listening to the beautiful music here at Africoye. Let them say. It's 4 o'clock p.m. here at Cable Radio 90.7 FM. Happy Women's Day to all of you who are celebrating. And in a moment, we're going to have a special transpositive roundtable. Stay with us.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
When we are given an opportunity to share our stories, opinions, thoughts, and ideas in a meaningful manner with each other over the airwaves, not only does it increase our collective knowledge of what it means to be human, but our stories also have the potential to influence the public dialogue. This is the power of KABU. You help expand the conversation. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. And thank you for your support of KABU.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to a special episode of Transpositive. We are usurping the space normally allotted for Democracy Now! Thank you so much for giving us time on International Women's Day to talk about issues from the perspective of transgender women and gender non-binary people. My name is Emma, and I am a co-host. I use she and her pronouns.
Hi, my name is Guinevere. I use she and her pronouns.
My name is Nicolette. I use A&M pronouns.
And Allie, are you there yet? Not yet. Okay, we'll have Allie in a minute. So we are here today because we want to talk about when we heard that they were doing a Women's Day show, we were super excited about it. And we did a show last year. It was a really challenging show. We did a show. It was a conversation with a woman who identifies as a radical feminist, who's also a friend of many trans people in the community. So, and we had we kind of talked about like trying to build bridges between the radical feminist community and the trans women's community. And the guest that we had last year was able to take a lot of information that she gets from her friends who are rad femmes, who don't really accept trans women, but she does accept trans women. And then we're able to take things from our perspective as trans women and have this conversation about things that are really challenging. And I think that to some degree, we want to expand that conversation this year. We're including this year people who identify as gender non-binary because that's a really important part of our community. And we're also going into a conversation not just about how trans women are included and welcomed and also not included and welcomed in women's spaces. But we're also going to be talking today about how trans women are included and also not welcomed within queer spaces. So it might seem like it doesn't make sense. Like, well, trans women are queer, so obviously we're accepted in queer spaces. But I think that as we have our conversation, we're going to talk, at least the trans women in the group, we're going to be talking a little bit about maybe where we don't feel so welcome in queer spaces and how we can work to maybe make the LGBTQIA like really bond together, because we all come from different stories. And that's just an important part of the conversation in terms of keeping it real. So, and I also want to, great, thank you. And I also want to acknowledge that while we are having this show right now, there's a really important event going on downtown. And if you don't know about it, I hope you'll go check it out. It's the International Women's Strike. And it's being led by a trans woman. A trans woman is doing a lot of the organizing, is speaking. They're going on a march. And they're like talking about intersectionality and how important it is to acknowledge trans women of color and to include like all women in this act of liberation that we're celebrating today. So with that, we just got Allie on. So Allie, would you like to introduce yourself and your preferred pronouns?
Hi, I'm Allie Ward and use female pronouns.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Allie. So who would like to start who would like to start the conversation?
Well, you said something interesting right there, and it's about it was about where we fit in. You were talking about queer spaces, but it's like, gosh, you know, you think universally, this is International Women's Day. So thinking like on that international level, it's like it's a struggle for women everywhere to identify and where do you fit in and what are you doing and where are you accepted. You know, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
There really is. I mean, one of the things that we talked about the other night on the show that I think kind of just flew right over everybody's head when we're having the Me Too conversation, which is really important because Me Too really matters in trans communities too. I was just listening to a trans woman tell me a story earlier today about when she was raped and how like her first experience, one of her first experiences after she came out as a trans woman, when she didn't have her guard up and wasn't really aware of what was going on around her, led to her being taken advantage of. And it was a really awful story. It was hard to listen to, but it reminded me that trans women, as we come out, have to navigate the same spaces as cis women in terms of like how we negotiate relationships with men if we're straight, and how we like, you know, kind of work through that, because we haven't had the same level of training. We haven't gotten the same kind of information that cis women have gotten since the time that they were girls, because we're trans, we're misidentified and we're miseducated as we're growing up. And so we don't always know how to navigate those kind of spaces, which in some ways makes us much more vulnerable. And it's part of how we end up having trans days of remembrance to acknowledge all of these women who get murdered every year. Because sometimes it's because they're in spaces where they're vulnerable and they don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that a little bit earlier. I find it interesting how, as someone who was assigned female at birth, I had it pounded into my head from a very young age. You know, don't walk alone, don't trust men, don't go anywhere alone with men, don't leave your drinks unattended, things like that. And I find it surprising to this day that women and, you know, AFAB people are just expected to know these things and are expected to be taught these things throughout their whole lives, whereas men are never taught don't rape, don't harass people, don't hurt people, don't murder people. I find it astonishing that all the blame is put on the victim, and I think that is something that is relevant among all women and AFAB people especially, and I think that's so important to talk about today.
Super, yeah. Can you explain what AFAB is for people who may not know?
Oh, sorry. AFAB, it stands for Assigned Female at Birth.
And that's, can you talk a little bit more about within the gender non-binary community how AFAB is used and what context?
Yeah, so it's used in the context of, you know, I mean, there's also intersex people, of course, but most people are typically assigned male or female at birth. And, you know, as we grow up in society where we're kind of forced into these boxes of if you're a male, then you're treated like cis men are supposed to be treated. If you're assigned female, you're treated how cis women are expected to be treated. And I, as a non-binary person, you know, I knew very early on that I just did not fit in those boxes. But it still reflects and shapes how I'm treated in society today, because I, even though I am not a woman, because I don't identify as a woman, I am perceived by society as a woman. People look at me and think and assume that I'm a woman. And they
treat me the way that they treat other cis women, and you know, probably all trans women in some way as well, because that's just how they see me.
Trans women die for that kind of identity.
Exactly. I think all of us die for that kind of identity, because anything perceived as feminine is in our society perceived as bad, wrong, weak, something that is supposed to be hurt.
Yeah, it's treated as something that's less than.
And
that's a big part of, I mean, when trans women transition, that's something that, you know, we hear a lot about, and sometimes it's really shocking to experience the reality of a loss of privilege. I've talked to a lot of trans women over the years, and one of the best arguments I ever heard on this was a trans woman who said that she never lost her privilege because she never had her privilege.
I definitely agree. I mean, when you look at it, really, trans women, they've always been women. They never quite fit in with cis men because they're not men. So they never have male privilege to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard trying to explain that. I mean, one of the things, so to start the conversation, I just want to, you know, first of all, just say that trans women are women. That's why we're on the show today, because we are women. We have women's bodies, we have women's experiences, and not everyone is going to acknowledge that that's true, but that is our truth. And thankfully, we're on a radio station that respects transgendered identities, that respects gender non-binary identities, that respects intersex identities, which I'm not saying that that's the same as trans at all. It's a completely separate thing. But that we are at a space that is a safe space. And it's a safe space for trans women. On this show today, it's a safe space for gender non-binary people. And we are women. And we, first of all, want you as a listener to acknowledge that and to respect that. You know, I understand that people have all kinds of differences in the world, and people have all kinds of ideas, but you don't understand how much harm you cause and how much damage you cause when you treat transgender people as if they're not women, if you treat trans women as if they're not women, if you treat trans men as if they're not men. It's incredibly damaging, and we suffer so much because of how we are mistreated in our communities, including in our queer communities. And, you know, if I had anything to take away from this today, I'd just like to say that, you know, families especially have got so much difficulty in terms of accepting trans women. And I think the reason is because if your family thinks that you're a man and then you become a woman, then it's this loss of status, which is ridiculous.
Right. And I, you know, I've seen that through trans feminine and trans women friends of mine, where you know, they have this expected status of from the time that they're born, because they're assigned male, they're expected to you know, sort of be the hero for the family. And you know, because femininity is seen as inferior, the second they come out as feminine or female, they are suddenly seen as inferior. They're suddenly seen as losing that superiority that they were supposed to have.
And part of what's so strange about this is that, I mean, as trans women, we're like, I mean, we're so excited to become women. I mean, to not just be women in terms of how we live our lives in our heads, but like to be women who live our lives as women. I mean, it's so exciting. It's so thrilling, you know, to even begin to make those transitions in your life.
I mean, you know, when we first come out, when we first are able to express outwardly what's inside, there's a huge amount of freedom in that. There's a huge amount of things that's going, you know what? I'm not lying to everybody anymore. I'm not keeping secrets. I'm not putting people off and building barriers, because I'm able to express and live how I feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have this thing about separation, and it's pretty much universal. And we talk about feeling separated from like the cis community or the, some other aspect of our communities. And it's like, you know, I think when we talk about separation and feeling separated and feeling, you know, discounted or just separate, how many other people who aren't trans, who aren't in the binary thing, like just cis men and women, how many of those people feel separated? How many of those people feel segregated against color, race, religion, all of these different things about being separate? And it's like, I don't feel separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. I feel like I'm part of the women's community. I mean, that's why I felt comfortable enough to come to when they had show proposals, to come and say, hey, let's include trans women in this conversation, you know, because I mean, I feel like in my life every day, like I'm accepted as a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel I'm respected by my partner. I'm respected by people I work with. I'm respected in my community generally. And, you know, I want to celebrate that. And that's part of why I'm here. I mean, I'm not here to just kvetch. You know, I'm not here to just kvetch. I want to celebrate the fact that trans women are included. I mean, in Portland. Allie, we've been taking a lot of time. Tell us your story. What's going on with you?
You know, it's really nice to hear your stories, and gives me some hope, because I'm still kind of early on in my transition. I've been on hormones for about a year and a half now, and I'm just kind of going through the process of changing my name at work and actually starting that process. So it's nice to hear that those feelings that you ladies have, of feeling accepted as a woman or in the queer community, is exciting. And most of my experiences have been pretty positive too, from starting out. So I'm excited to keep moving on and hopefully keep educating, you know, coworkers and friends and family, and just kind of keep spreading the word.
I agree.
I think it's so interesting, this whole topic of separation. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, feeling separated is an internal issue. If you feel separated from others, it's probably because on some level you're separated inside in that space. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, it could just be self-doubt. It could be an outward physical thing, you know, like what somebody says or something. But really, if we look to others for validation of who we are and how we feel, that's a losing battle.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And I do think that, you know, society always has ways to try and divide people.
Anybody.
And I feel like maybe even within women's communities, people are still trying mm-hmm. to divide in order to try and make themselves feel superior as a way of climbing to the top, when there is no way to really climb to the top unless we all come together. Right. I even, you know, sometimes get attacks just for being a feminist and considering myself part of, you know, women's communities and women's movements, because I don't identify as a woman. I mean, I identify as partially female, but, you know, I've had people tell me, well, why are you a part of these women's groups and all these women's movements and stuff if you're not really a woman? And
I hear the same thing.
Yeah. And what it all comes down to is we have women's experiences, you know, whether you identify as a woman, whether you're assigned female at birth, if there, you can have women's experiences without being a cis woman.
Right.
Exactly. And I that's why I ended up like even just identifying with the term Lunarian, which I found out that's a good one.
I like that.
Yeah, I just found out about this term recently, actually. it comes from lunar because you know, the moon in a lot of cultures is associated with femininity. And so it's a term for non-binary people who, even though they don't identify as female, they still identify strongly with femininity and with the female gender.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I like it.
You know, I feel like trans women are kind of like, I mean, we're in the zone of like female experience. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to me, like, female experience is not just like a single point in space. Like, to me, female experience is a spectrum.
It's a huge spectrum. It spans so much more than people realize.
Yeah. And it's not linear.
No.
It's not linear.
Right. And it spans the gamut from, you know, from like over here to over there. And all of those kinds of identities are part of being female. And so that's how, like, as trans women, I feel like I can fit in. I mean, I can't give birth, at least not yet. I wish I could give birth, though. Believe me, ladies. And I'm not the only one. I know a lot of trans women who, like, if we could give birth, we would gladly go through everything that, like, cis women go through.
And, you know, that's another thing that I find ironic about, you know, so many trans exclusionary radical feminists who say things like, oh, trans women aren't real women because they don't give birth, they don't menstruate, things like that. I'm just like, not all cis women can give birth. Mm-hmm. Not all cis women can menstruate. Mm-hmm. You can't just assume that women's experience is universal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that our culture is moving closer and closer to like spaces where people who identify as transgender and who also value a gender binary, like where they want to be a woman or they want to be a man, like we're moving closer and closer as a culture to like that as a physical reality. And that's the nice thing. I mean, women have a chance, like from the time that they're really young, to identify with the gender identity that they feel, starting in school. And that's like a really great thing. And, you know, even for those of us who are older, because of changes in medical science, we're able to much more closely come to the bodies that we are. And that's all really positive, but there's still a long ways to go. And there's a spectrum. I mean, even though we're able to get to where we're getting closer to where we can get to as a culture, also in part because we're supported by our community. And to me, there's like these deeper feminist issues that really, this is what feminism is to me. Like, to me, feminism is about diving deep into those issues of like, what does women's truth tell us about women's experiences in life, you know? And one of the reasons that so many more trans women in Oregon, for instance, have been able to get closer to like having their gender identity match their bodies is because in Oregon, collectively, we decided that we were going to prioritize that we were going to value in the healthcare system and in financing for healthcare, that we were going to value transgender people, and we were going to make sure that transgender people in Oregon had access to hormones, had access to surgeries, had access to mental health care. And to me, this is a deeply feminist value. It's like you're looking at mm-hmm. a group and you're saying, how can we, you know, make sure that these people are able to self-actualize? And that sense of like embracing community, of embracing diversity, of embracing, you know, these deeper truths, these unrecognized truths of our culture is, to me, essentially is profoundly feminist. So let's talk about feminism within within trans communities and gender non-binary communities. I mean, who here, I identify as a feminist. Who else here is a feminist?
Oh, I am absolutely a feminist.
What about you, Ellie? Do you identify as a feminist?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how do people feel there's, I mean, do you think that feminism addresses trans and gender non-binary issues? Like in theory and in practice? I mean, for me, I've always been a feminist. Like, I mean, part of what, like, really drew me into the whole, like, radical political left was feminism. I mean, just not feminism per se, but just knowing women who were doing incredible things. I mean, when I was a teenager, I was involved in the anti-war movement, and most of the people I knew who were, like, leaders in the anti-war movement were women, and they were just doing incredible work with a group that I was involved in back in Minnesota called Women Against Military Madness. And women were the best speakers. They had the most comprehensive vision. And I mean, the truth that I saw by beginning to explore feminism, like, made the whole world fall into place for me. I mean, I remember reading, you know, like, first wave and second wave stuff, and like Shulamith Firestone and all kinds of writers that just really opened my eyes to, you know, the really deep truth of feminism, the deep truth of women's experiences.
Can you say a little bit about what that is to you? Like, define it. You know, not really super long, but
sure.
An idea of what, I mean, when you say feminism.
Well, to me, feminism means that women are inherently equal, are inherently worthy of dignity and rights, and have every value that any human being, including men, have in our culture. So to me, feminism is fundamentally about liberation. I mean, but it has, like, some, like, women deserve equal pay. Women deserve to live and work in environments where they're free of harassment. Women deserve to equal treatment and equal accommodations in every respect in our society. Women's health care needs to be prioritized. Women's work needs to be valued. And women's bodies need to be valued within our culture in every respect, from birth to death. And that women are equal, or maybe even superior to men.
Personally, I see feminism as the movement for all genders to be treated equally. Because right now, the way things are in our world, men and masculinity is seen as dominant and superior. And because of that, anything that is considered feminine is treated as inferior and is treated as being wrong, bad, weak, anything negative you can think of. It's associated with femininity. And so, you know, I've seen arguments from people, well, then why isn't it just called equalism if it's a fight for equality for all genders? I'm like, the thing is, because it's the gender inequality that we're facing right now all stems from the fact that femininity is seen as inferior. Mm-hmm. It hurts all genders, including men. That's why we have toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. The idea that if men express anything that is considered feminine, including even just showing emotion and compassion, they are seen as less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, preach it, non-binary friend. I'm not sure what to say instead of... Is there a non-binary word for...
There's one that I really like that's going around a lot is NB.
Like, preach it, NB.
Yeah.
Allie, what do you want to talk a little bit about your take on feminism?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that's been said too, and I think pretty much my introduction to it has always been that of equality, and especially for equality for genders. But you know, equality is something that is important to me on all fronts. My spouse of 9 years now was born in Guatemala. We're an interracial couple, and now we're a queer couple. And just, you know, working, seeing what she champions and what she likes, and working towards immigrant rights and those kind of things. Like, it's all about equality in general. For me, and now, and to go off like toxic masculinity, I mean, I was especially a huge product of that, and you can see where it really affects just women's progress in general. And So to fight that is really important to me too. Like, I think for me, like, the hardest thing going on hormones was actually learning how to cry and cry appropriately. And, and to show that to my partner was just felt so vulnerable, but it was that toxic masculinity that made it so hard for me growing up, to actually show that. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So why don't we take a little break? I don't know if we have some break music lined up, but if we do, let's take a little break and we'll be right back to the second half of our show. All right, and we are back for the second half of the show. We are usurping our normal programming this day because today is International Women's Day. And I just want to thank KBOO for giving space for all women and especially giving space for trans women and for gender non-binary people. So we'll be back with Democracy Now! Tomorrow. And in the meantime, thank you so much for giving us some time to share our experiences as women. And I do want to remind people, if you're downtown today, that it is the International Women's Strike Day, and there's a big protest going on downtown. It's actually being led by a trans woman of color, and I hope that you will go down and participate in it if you're down there, and if not, tune into KBOO all day for some great Women's Day programming. So we were talking about feminism and toxic masculinity a minute ago. And we also covered a whole bunch of issues related to gender non-binary identities and to women's experiences and to what creates like a sense of separateness and where is separateness like in our experiences. I want to talk a little bit about one of the issues that we talked about last year, which was the relationship between the radical feminist community and the trans women's community. And I'm not sure, like, it sounds like based on your experiences that there's also some issues that go on between the radical feminist community and the gender non-binary community. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, you know, like I was talking about before, I think this is mainly coming from trans exclusionary radical feminists. They want to see trans women as not really women, but they also want to see non-binary people as not having women's experiences because we don't identify as women. And maybe that's not even just a TERF thing. That's, you know, something in the radical feminist community that I've seen in general. Like, you know, I've been questioned, well, how can you have women's experiences if you're not really a woman? And I was talking about earlier, I think women's experiences are such a huge spectrum that it does not apply to just cis women, just trans women, even people that just identify as women. I think that it applies to anyone who's ever experienced any form of femininity in their identity.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
You know, that's really fascinating because if a woman came up to me and said, "You're not a woman," I would be confused. I would be like, "What's a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't somebody who can explain outside of the physical manifestation of your body what makes a woman and what doesn't?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
there's aspects of somebody who identifies as a woman, and there's aspects of somebody who identifies as female.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the thing about what's, you know, it's so mind blowing to me because I'm just me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I express my appearance and my attitudes as female, as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Does that make me a woman, or does that just make me me?
Right, both. definitely.
Yeah, and that's the thing is gender is a social construct. Mm-hmm. It's not some hard biological fact that you can even really narrow down with genetics or anything like that. Like so many people try and claim it is. That's not what gender is. Gender is something that was created entirely by humans. It's not even really real. It's imaginary. And because of that, it's flexible, it's fluid, and it can be shaped into anything you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about your idea of gender. How does the physical manifestation of a body separate that? Just in that idea.
The way I see it is the physical manifestation of a you know, your body doesn't even really have to do with gender technically, because gender is, in a nutshell, it's like the way our society perceives gender roles, things that are associated with a certain gender, and because of that we form identities in our minds of what boxes we fit into. I was never really able to fit into the box of this is what society sees as a woman. I was never able to fit into the box of this is what society sees as a man. I was always just somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that for trans women, we have a very similar experience.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really, I mean, we don't fit into a box that we're put into. And so then we go into another box. And it's challenging because the conversation for people who are just listening, there's a conversation that's been going on within the queer community between like kind of the older trans women's and trans men's community and the younger gender non-binary community. Mm-hmm. And gender non-binary has always been a thing. I mean, it's always been a thing. But in the last generation, like a lot of younger people are really identifying as gender non-binary. And it's because, I mean, they see all of the damage that the gender binary does. But then on a day like International Women's Day, when we're celebrating women and women's identities, it might seem confusing to like also be talking about, well, maybe there's no such thing as a gender binary. But I mean, within the realm of power, like how power exists in our culture, there's definitely a gender binary. That's why there's been 45 men as president of the United States and no women. And it's because of the gender binary. And that's why we have to dismantle and deconstruct the implications of a gender binary.
Exactly. The gender binary is really just another construct that is used to control and manipulate. It's always just been used to control people. Gender as a construct, I think, has always just been used to control people in
mm-hmm.
general.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I mean, if this is a way that maybe I can help cis women understand why, like, accepting trans women is really good, like, not just for you personally, but for the women's movement generally, is that every time like there's another trans woman is born, every time another trans woman transitions, it's a crack in the chink of that like gender binary. It's another time that somebody who was misappropriately identified as a man, indoctrinated as a man, being told all of the stupid things that we teach men and how they're supposed to be, like comes out as their true identity. Every time that happens, it's a chink in that armor of that gender binary. And it helps to deconstruct the gender binary, because the gender binary is so bad for our country, for our planet. I mean, if you look at the things that men have done in the last 10,000 years, men have started basically every war that ever happened. They have headed every corporation that's contributed to global warming. They have been responsible for the deaths of millions and millions of people. Okay. I mean, yeah. And this is, I mean, they try to own most of the property. They've been responsible for the genocide of, you know, of hundreds of indigenous nations. You know, they've imported things like colonialism and monotheism and these traditions that are just incredibly destructive and really work against like not only the spirit of the planet, but against the spirit of women. And for the last 10,000 years, if you look at what men have done and how men have done things, I mean, the number one target has been women. It's been controlling women. It's been controlling women's bodies. And right now we're in this backlash time. You know, we're in this backlash time where, like, men are trying to do the same old stuff that they've always done. And we resist. You know, that's why we're here at KBOO. That's why we're on this show. I mean, we're resisting. And that's part of our strength as women. That's part of our strength as trans people. That's part of our strength as gender non-binary people, is our ability to resist. To resist fascism, to resist imperialism, to resist colonialism, and to resist patriarchy. I mean, we resist patriarchy, and one of the ways that we resist patriarchy is by claiming our identities, claiming our authentic identities as women or as gender non-binary people.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's really the patriarchy that is the real enemy here. You know, it's not like we're saying that all men are bad, all men are the enemy. A lot of times, even when men are doing these horrible things, they're only doing it because that is what they're taught from an early age, is what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the work of the patriarchy, is a sort of big machine controlling people of all genders, not just women, but men and non-binary people, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's...
And I think,
sorry, go ahead, Allie.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of bring it back to TERF and trans exclusionary rational feminism and what makes, you know, a woman or this and that, you know, everything we're talking about here is what's created those narrow views of what a woman is and how we get things like TERF. And, you know, you hear the examples of what, you know, you hear about TERF, and like, we trans women can't give birth, we don't menstruate, you know, that's just a super narrow view of what women are in general. And not all women identify with that or have kids or menstruate, you know, and mm-hmm. it's just super damaging to women in general.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I don't want to pick on like, you know, radical feminists specifically, because I mean, I identify as a radical feminist, and sure. I want to broaden not to like piggyback on your comment, Allie, because this like totally stands on its own as a really just a great point. I just want to say, like, from my own perspective as a woman, that like, I understand that like radical feminists are not my enemy. I mean, radical feminists are my allies, but I do want to help people who are within the radical feminist community who can't accept me. I want to try to have that conversation if it's possible. But I also understand that like most cis people are able to live in this world of like extreme privilege, where like they don't even have to deal with transgender people. And if they did, I think that most of them, like when they do, like there's a mix of reactions, but I think that there's lots and lots and lots of people in the heterosexual and cisgender, cisnormative communities who basically react the exact same way as radical feminists when it comes to our trans and gender non-binary identities. So,
you know, yeah.
I just got to say that in families, you know, regardless of the, if it's male, female, 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 male, male, whatever the issue might be, but in families, when you stop and you back up and you think about the pure volume of things that families all across the world, but let's say in the States, deal with, from gender stuff, mental health stuff, their own traumas, their own life situations, their families, their extended families' life situations, and the way people stretch into things that put a load on their belief systems or what they're used to, and that they usually find a way to live with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to experience that. And it's like the idea that, like for me personally, I'm not fighting any battle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm including as many people as I can in all aspects of my life, and it's like in agreement or disagreement, and hopefully not a lot of hate, you know, pure hatred, because to me that's just weird. But differences should be appreciated and, mm-hmm. and respected. And if this is our goal, is to reach out and, you know, want acceptance and stuff, the worst thing we can do is label, separate, and create enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not interested in having a fight.
Right.
I'm not interested in doing battle.
No.
Over these things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if you have a different viewpoint of a binary existence or non-binary existence, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Be curious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking our buzzword is curiosity.
Curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're curious.
Curiosity is empowerment.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
On all levels.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody who has so much resistance to a trans person or a non-binary person, why not be curious? Mm-hmm. Why just be resentful, angry, and do all of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, curious. I'm curious if some TERF person walked up to me and started saying something, I'd be wondering where they were coming from.
Right.
And why are they saying that? And what is going on in their life that they would do that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to reacting and creating more of what they're already creating.
Right.
And making that situation 10 times larger.
Just mirroring their
own mm-hmm. stuff. And then you go, well, what's going on with me that I'm fighting with them over what they're fighting with me about? And I don't, you know, our solution, our key is curiosity towards each other.
Hmm. What were you going to say, Nicolette?
Oh, I was just going to talk about how I think that's interesting that the core of privilege is that you don't even understand what people who don't have your privilege are going through. Like recently at my school, the Queer Resource Center was handing out these little pins that had like the trans flag and the genderqueer flag with the slogan "Stop Killing Us." And I remember I was going over to grab one, and like this girl next to me, I assume she was cis, I could be wrong, but she seemed to be cis, just looks at the buttons and goes, "Why does it say stop killing us? I don't get it." I'm like, how wonderful for you that you get to be in your own little bubble and not be aware of the fact that trans and non-binary people are being murdered and killed just for being who we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allie, were you going to say something?
No, I think these are all great points.
Okay. Well, let's continue on that thread then. You brought up a really great point, Gwen, which was about like why start fights in our heads with people and then, you know, kind of start from that point. So that's a great perspective. But I'm going to kind of do a back and forth with you. So
okay.
My sense is that a lot of times the reason that we as trans women do it is because we feel so traumatized. I mean, trans women feel so traumatized. Like every day of our life until we started to transition, we are constantly misgendered. And for those of us who are trans women, we were filled up with the ideology of patriarchy. We were taught all of these terrible, toxic things about our identities that didn't even match our own experiences as bodies. So a lot of trans women have trauma, and they take their trauma into their transition and into their new lives. And so, but I mean, cis women have trauma too. So
everybody, I mean, not everybody, but a whole lot of people experience trauma.
Right.
And a whole lot of people do nothing about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know they had it. You know, there's that trauma that has an awareness level that's really covered. So you're acting through that, but you're not aware of, you know, that maybe you even experienced trauma as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a more recent trauma. But, you know, people need to deal with trauma.
That's true.
And so much more in the trans world. Because if you're out there, you're transitioning, you're so vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
You're so wanting to experience the beauty, the freedom, and the unknowns and enjoy your life. It's like to do that in the middle of a traumatic, you know, episode in your life that's been going on. You got to be nuts. I mean, it's like, you know, if you can see it from both sides, it's like, oh my God, get some help.
Right.
Get some help with that. And, you know, we can't really say, oh, well, I can't afford it, because there's a huge amount of service out there for people to get help to start to unload that trauma and mm-hmm. start to live a really clean life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that mm-hmm. getting help for trauma is an important part of getting to that space of being centered enough to where you can't see, like where you understand that there is difference in the world and there is a lack of information, but there's also curiosity and there's joy and there's exploration. There's all these positive things that like really feed us, you know, in a really good way that like helped us to come to our paths as women and that help our culture to come to a path of prosperity, to a path of like celebration, to a path of liberation, you know, to a space of equality. I mean, the way that we get to that space of equality isn't necessarily through division, but it's actually through openness
and through inclusion.
And through inclusion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's through acceptance and inclusion. Uh-huh. And as, you know, as women, this is interesting because I'm thinking about my childhood and how I was raised. And there's no question that my mother ran the household.
Mm-hmm.
My father he may have thought he did, but mom had that space. Mm-hmm. Controlled. So I wasn't necessarily raised with this overreaching masculinity kind mm-hmm. of thing. It was kind of non-existent.
Wow.
You know, I looked at my father as kind of spineless. I mean, he did a lot of good things in his life,
mm-hmm.
but his strength as a man wasn't really evident.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't really raised with that whole dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up is that, I mean, where we come from as children mm-hmm. and how we are raised like informs so much of how we see the world. It really does. But that's also, I mean, I can take that and say, okay, that's also true for how we teach people the gender binary mm-hmm. and how the gender binary, like even though it seems like a contradiction, but it really isn't. As trans women, we are embracing the gender binary because we are women, but we're also deconstructing the gender binary, which is part of how mm-hmm. we have an alliance with gender non-binary people. And we're also like an important part of like feminist movements and of just women's movements generally.
Well, we have a high capacity to be a bridge.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
From mm-hmm. all kinds of different
yeah.
aspects of our lives.
It's oh, yeah.
like, I
yeah.
may not be a great bridge for some areas,
mm-hmm.
but another trans woman could be all over that. But mm-hmm. together, the bridges that we can cross, that
yeah.
we can help others cross,
mm-hmm.
is just fascinating. You know, it's...
It's amazing, yeah.
It is amazing, and it's something that as a society, you know, that's why... Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying. I mean, because it's like, because of our experiences as trans women, we're able to bring a perspective, a sense of... My rabbi yeah. like talks about this a lot, mm-hmm. and she's really great. My rabbi is so wonderful, Rabbi Ariel Stone, over at Shir Tikva, and she really celebrates transgender identities. And she talks about like how being trans can be a really special kind of like a sacred place to be, because you are doing that bridge building, that mm-hmm. bridge building like between cultures, between gender identities, between histories even, because we're kind of creating like within the queer community, we're creating new history, herstory, theirstory right now. I mean, we're actually creating a new kind of a new paradigm, mm-hmm. you know, by just being ourselves.
Yeah, and it's not deconstructing
mm-hmm.
the binary. It's adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. realizing that there's a spectrum. Let's not break it down. Let's build it up. Let's, you know, people that are in the binary idea, male, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a spectrum. There's a huge spectrum. And you can't disinclude that group
mm-hmm.
to include another group. So we need to build on all mm-hmm. of these things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that increases our power across the board as women. And I don't mean power like we're in charge. I mean like...
I want to be in charge.
Do you want to be in charge?
I want women to be
know.
In
you
charge.
Keep talking about it.
I want women to be in charge. That's what I mean. I don't mean me.
Oh, not you personally.
No, not me personally. No.
I want to see you personally in charge.
No, thank you. But I want to, before I die, I want a woman president.
Yeah.
Before I die, I want to see a woman as president of the United States.
I want to see that too.
Uh-huh. You know, I want women to be 50% of the owners of CEOs in this country. I want women to be paid the same as men across the board. You know, I want women to have everything that women deserve and that, like, we all deserve, you know. But not just women, I want everybody lifted up, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to live in a culture where we lift up everyone and where we don't, like, put people down or hold people back.
Yeah.
Well, I think there needs to be something said, too, about the future and younger generations, because, you know, so many college campuses today are embracing identities and the whole gender spectrum. I have a friend over who works for Boston University, and his job is to teach kids, incoming kids, about sex and about that, those things. And it's really exciting to see, like, my wife just took a class at U of O, and a professor asked for everyone's pronouns, and there's, you can see that those things are coming to light and are important to universities. And with the Parkland massacre and these young kids leading this movement, I think the future is pretty darn bright for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that was a shift, a real uh-huh. shift, you know, in our culture.
There's our revolutionary.
Yeah. It's always mm-hmm. with the young, though. I mean, mm-hmm. the younger generation always has got the key to, like, the change, you know, and that's why there's, like, so many great things going on right now, because they're seeing all the mistakes we made, you know. That's part of how we get the gender non-binary out of transgender.
Yeah, and I think that's why so many older generations these days are complaining about millennials being this huge problem. Hey, is hey, because hey, we're bringing hey, a...
Watch it over there.
Oh, no.
I think the problem is they're afraid of change, and millennials are bringing about change. They're trying to resist that. They're like, no, let's just keep things the same. Let's keep things the way they are. We can't progress that way. We can't evolve that way. Things have to change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are almost out of time. We've got maybe 1 minute left. So if anybody has any really important last words to share, this is the time.
You know, remember the 50s and 60s. Peace, love, happiness.
The 50s and 60s. Yeah, the 60s, right. Definitely. I don't know about the 50s.
Well, it's kind of started
there. It did. You're right. Yeah, it did. There's peace, love, and happiness.
Well, that whole movement had a synergy and an energy towards things are okay. What you do is okay. I mean, it wasn't like as broken up as it is now in binary and things. We were just talking about sex then, mm-hmm. but, you know, but other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like for the young kids in Florida, I so appreciate them stepping up, because they're the ones to take this forward with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. How about you, Nicolette? Any last words?
I mean, I wasn't around for the 50s and 60s, but I know that the 60s is when the feminist movement really started. And I think that it's come such a long, long ways these past few decades. And I think that the best way for us to continue growing and changing and moving forward is for us to examine how gender... norms in general affect everyone, all genders. It's something that plays a huge part in our society. And if we can start breaking apart the binary and start looking at how our gender construct is really built and how it's constructed in our society, I think we can begin to deconstruct the ways that it oppresses people.
Well, that is a great closing note. So thank you so much. You've been listening to a special episode with the crew from Transpositive. Thank you so much to folks who normally listen to Democracy Now! For giving us time. Thank you, KBOO. And thank you, everyone, for supporting International Women's Day. Have a good
Absolutely.
Afternoon.
Happy Women's Day, everyone.
Happy Women's Day. So the 60s was men burnt crap.
embarrassed by the crowd. I felt he found my letters and read each one out loud. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on strumming my pain with his fingers.
Hi, it is 4:59 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, celebrating International Women's Day with you. We've just listened to an enlightened conversation from the Trans Positive Women's Group. And up next, at the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have a discussion of the International Women's Strike with a live call-in from Portland's Action at 5:30 p.m. Stick with us.
KBOO is building a city of media makers. For 50 years, KBOO has had an open door policy and trained anyone who's interested to create radio and media. We believe in mutual aid, a reciprocal exchange of resources and services for the benefit of all. What a stale place Portland could be if we lose our diversity of voices and our creative climate that emphasizes fun, truth, beauty, joy, peace, love, and justice. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today.